those words.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I forgot my reading glasses, so I'm going to be doing all kinds of odd things, probably. This morning I want to talk about something called think not thinking. So I'm going to talk about an essential aspect of Dogen Zenji's teachings on Shikantaza, on how we sit, and then kind of meander a little bit into how that actually comes forth in our in the rest of our lives. Once, after Master Yakusan was sitting zazen, a monk asked him, "When you're sitting, about what do you think? Or what do you think about?" The master replied, "I think about not thinking." The monk responded, "How does one think about non-thinking, not thinking? Not thinking." The master replied, "Think not thinking, or non-thinking." So the three terms here are think, which is shiryo, think. Not thinking, which is fu shiryo. And think not thinking, which is he shiryo. So shiryo, this idea of thinking, is weighing ideas, affirming or negating, making up stories, conceptualizing objects, making things a problem that you're going to figure out by thinking about them. This kind of thinking is what we do all the time. We plan. And it's not a bad thing, right? I mean, we're not talking about thinking being a bad thing. So we say the mind secretes thoughts like the stomach secretes gastric juices. It's what we do as human beings. We think, we plan, we try and figure things out, we try and nail things down by our thinking mind. And this thinking is very vulnerable. It's a very vulnerable project, thinking, because one of the things it's vulnerable to is whatever object pops up, we have a thought about it, right? So something comes up, and, you know, there we are. We think about this, we think about that, we think about the other. Right now in my work, there's like, I don't know, six things that have to happen right now. So my mind can go like, there's this, and then there's this, and then there's this, and then there's that, right? Well, it's a good thing to track the things that you're responsible for. That's not a bad thing. But that mind is very kind of vulnerable and weak, in a way, that thinking mind. And it's very limited. Thinking. Our thoughts about things are just our thoughts about things. They're not the things themselves. That's, you know, so we have these thoughts about something. Well, that's fine. But if we forget that it's just a thought about something, then all of a sudden we have this whole reality that's made up of our thoughts about something, and we completely miss what's actually going on. We see this with people a lot, or situations, and we think we understand what's going on. And if we don't understand, by God, we're going to understand, and we're going to figure it out, right, by thinking about it. So, you know, it's a very kind of dodgy proposition, this thinking business. And it's also very vulnerable. Our thinking is very vulnerable to emotions. So if we have a strong emotion happening, it completely colors our thinking. This is part of what happens with memory. That's why memory is malleable. Memory is not where we retrieve something that actually happened. Memory is constructed. And Our memory of something is completely impacted by what's happening in the present moment. Have you ever had that experience? Where, you know, you might think about something that happened and you remember only the bad things because you're exhausted and cranky, right? Or you remember only the good things. So we are always constructing with our thoughts. But these thoughts are quite fragile and vulnerable things, even though, but they're very powerful. Our addiction to this thinking is very powerful. So this is Shiryo. Weighing ideas, affirming, negating the object of our thought, conceptualizing, planning, intellectualizing, not being present for what's actually happening. So then we can say, okay, that doesn't work. That thinking doesn't work. Especially we're talking about zazen, right? When we sit down and we start thinking about what we're going to have for dinner or what somebody said to us the other day. Thinking. So we say, okay, no thinking. I'm going to get rid of them. Stop thinking. That's fushiryo, right? So we... Fushiryo, not thinking, is actively engaging in the negation or denial of thought. So this is aiming towards having no thoughts at all. Now, there's some Buddhist traditions in which this is aimed, this is an aim of practice. Or we get so concentrated that, you know, it's like if you concentrate on a flame or something, then thoughts disappear. But this is not our practice. And the suppression of thoughts, the suppression of thoughts can be like a wet blanket that you put over your mind, right? Like just, let's get one of those big, thick survival blankets, soak it, and just put it down on your life, on your mind. And what happens under there, it's like, grumbling, right? You're not getting rid of anything. You're just putting a manhole cover on it or a wet blanket on it. Or you just banish thinking. So this is fushiryo. This is not thinking. I'm going to get rid of thinking. I'm going to try and stop conceptualizing completely. So we might, the thought comes up, we cut it off, thought comes up, we cut it off, thought comes up, we cut it off. So we have a barren landscape of no thoughts. Kishiryo, non-thinking, or think not thinking, is a different animal altogether. This is not being bothered by the activity of your mind. The mind creates thoughts. That's what it does. We accept that. We accept that ideation occurs. Thoughts occur. We're not affirming them, and we're not denying them. This is what we do. We produce these thoughts. One time, a number of years ago, Sojin Murshi was at San Francisco Zen Center and he gave a talk and then he went to the back of the dining room and was answering questions and there was a young woman there and she raised her hand and she said, I've been sitting, I think it was for 3 weeks. She said, I've been sitting for 3 weeks and I'm still thinking. That's what happened in the room. It's like, oh dear. And, you know, I can't seem to stop thinking. And, you know, what do I do? And Sojin Roshi said, well, when I sit zazen, I have thoughts. I think. And he said, the difference between me and you is it doesn't bother me. So that not being bothered by the activity of our minds and, I would say, our hearts. You know? We produce emotions, we produce thoughts. That's what we do. If we don't get into a battle with them, they just go away. Our minds can settle at that point. They can settle, depending on what's going on in your life. If, for example, you're waiting for the results of a biopsy, you might not be that calm. You might have a lot of anxious thinking. Okay, that's just what your mind is doing at that moment. Other days, you might be totally settled. That's nice. But one is not better than the other. One period of chattering mind is not better than a mind of stillness. What happens when we sit is that we have a greater stillness available to us generally over the years. But it's super important not to kind of glom onto that and say, well, I'm going to get more still. Then you're just engaged in this endless wrestling match. So Hishiryo is very akin to the kind mind that Dogen Zenji talks about. It's a kind mind. It's a settled mind. It's not an aggressive mind. It's not a combative mind. And it's, in a sense, it's always present. It's what we could call pre-reflective mind. A mind before attaching to thought. So, the mind that's not caught in thoughts and desires. This is the mind of Zazen. Yeah? So, you can sit in a lazy way. You can say, oh, thinking, not thinking, non-thinking. I'm thinking, it's okay, I'm just thinking. But that's not quite right either. So it's a part of what's so interesting to me about this is that there's a quality of effort here that is very sometimes hard to pinpoint. Because it's not it's not aggressive effort, but it's not passivity either. It's a kind of curiosity and presence. So it's not a judging mind. It's not an aggressive mind. It's not a lazy mind or heart. It's something that we become curious about. How do I return to this mind of non-thinking? And we're talking about, there's a time and a place to reflect, to think, and to reflect on your experience. This is important, to reflect on your actions, to reflect on what you've done, to think about things, not just to plan in a very practical way, that's also true, but to examine your conscience, as the Jesuits say, to look at yourself and think about what you've done and where you've been and choices you've made and where you want to go. But our effort in Zazen is to manifest non-thinking, Hishiryo. You can label your thoughts. Sometimes that's useful as you get to know your mind. Joko Beck highly recommended this. Should everybody do this for a year when they started? Not to label just thinking, but to actually get to know who you are. I'm thinking about the future. Oh, you get to know, oh, I tend to be really cranky underneath everything. Or I tend to plan for the future, or I tend to squabble with people that I had arguments with 5 years ago. Think about what I would have said, You can get a feel for your own mind. You could do that in your everyday life, too. What are the habitual responses that you have? But in Zazen, the recommendation is label, not label. Underneath it all is the mind of non-thinking. That's what we want to manifest in our Zazen. So not indulging in thinking and not suppressing thinking, but getting a orientation towards non-thinking. So Suzuki Roshi said famously, don't invite your thoughts to tea, right? This is the spirit of this. Thought comes, thought goes. It's like a shotgun house, right? There's a front door open and there's a back door open. Mm-hmm. Just whoosh, right through. Right through. You know that phrase, shotgun house? You know what that is? No, it's a house that's organized along a central corridor. So it's just one thing after another. So you could go in one and out the other. So I guess it probably came from the fact that you could shoot a shotgun in the front and it would go out the back. But the same can be said for our thoughts. Just in you go, out you go. In you go. Dido Laurie says in one of his writings, I stand at the door and wave bye-bye. You know, bye-bye. Bye-bye. There's something non-aggressive about that, right? But strong. There's a strength to it. And then Suzuki Roshi says in a similar way, be kind to the thinking mind in Zazen, as if you were taking care of a friend or of children. Your thinking mind is like a child running around you. So you say, oh, be careful. When you practice this way, there is no you anymore. That is the secret of going beyond self-centered practice. So let's think about this for a moment. Your thinking mind is doing its best with partial information, right? Who we habitually return to is deluded. It's not functioning on all cylinders. If it were, we would be totally awake and alive and responsive. We would be manifesting the activity of a Buddha in that moment. But, you know, our self-centered self tends to think of everything in terms of itself, and so it misses quite a lot. So we say, oh, be careful. It's like a child running around, not quite getting what's going on. Be careful. So there's a sense of Dogen Zenji calls parental mind towards ourselves and others, towards our own minds. And then he says, Suzuki Roshi says, when you practice this way, there is no you anymore. Well, think about that. Isn't that interesting? When you practice taking care of your own mind as if a friend or a child, there's no you anymore. You're not shrink-wrapped around that habitual place. You have a spaciousness, an intelligence, a wisdom, a settledness, a kindness that's just this, connected, alive, just this, not arguing with reality. Then he says, this is a secret of going beyond self-centered practice. So this practice is not blocking anything, but it's also not being carried away. At Suzuki Roshi says, there's no second activity. The mind has an activity? Great. Okay, it's doing what it does. But there's no second activity. So I'm going to delve a little bit into Dogen here, and I want you to think about this, okay? This is the thinking part. I can't remember where this, which fascicle this comes from, but anyway. You might think that the measure of the body-mind, because it is the measure of the body-mind, is far from being Dharma nature. Okay? You might think, this is your thinking mind, the measure of the body-mind, or the judging, the measurement of body-mind or anything else, because it is the measure, because it's a measuring, is far from being Dharma nature. Okay? Our measuring or thinking, we might think, is far from being Dharma nature. But such a thought is itself Dharma nature. Okay, this is where Dogen takes us on this, like, you know? Mm-hmm. Because what's separate is, if all being, if all activity is Dharma nature, then why do we disparage thought? Is that not also the manifestation of reality? You might also think that the measure of the body not mind, because it is not the measure of the body mind, in other words, it's just an idea about something, is not Dharma nature. Right? It's just an idea that can't be Dharma nature. But this very thinking is itself Dharma nature as well. Thinking and not thinking alike are of Dharma nature. There's no escaping from reality. So we talk about thinking and not thinking and non-thinking, and we say we don't want to be carried away with thoughts, and we don't want to suppress thoughts. We want to rest in, return to non-thinking. But what Dogen is always telling us is, don't allow that to think that some things are outside of the ken or the reality of Buddha nature. Does this make sense? Don't categorize things like that. It's all alive. So this is it's challenging for us, because we say, oh, okay, thinking carries us away, it's delusion. Not thinking is not the right option. Non-thinking. Therefore, thinking must be bad, or it must be somehow outside of the awakened mind. No, that's not true. It's all included in the nature of reality. So this is the spirit of our Zazen practice, but it's also the spirit of our everyday life. So let me... This is from Keizan. Keizan Zenji. Do you know who Keizan Zenji is? Keizan? Keizan was a successor of Dogen's, and Dogen is often referred to as the father of Soto Zen, and Keizan the mother. Keizan was popularized Soto Zen. He was particularly supportive of women, and Dogen was very supportive of women too, but Keizan kind of made that real. So this is what Zen Master Keizan has to say in Zazen Yojinki. I'm just going to use one sentence or two here. After coming out of stillness, when you carry on your activities without thinking, the present event is the public affair, meaning a koan, a challenge to us to wake up. When you accomplish practice and realization, that's what we do, right? Practice, realization. One moment of practice is one moment of realization, making real Dharma life. When you accomplish practice and realization without interfusion, then the public affair is the present happening. So we could do a whole Dharma talk on this. But what this means is that this non-thinking doesn't occur just in zazen. We want to engage with our thinking mind in this way in all aspects of our lives. And we want to challenge ourselves to think about what allows us to take the risk of resting in non-thinking. Thinking is very easy, isn't it? We think about things that we feel kind of safe and like, I can figure it out. I got that down. I know how to think. So entertaining the notion that perhaps there's another way can be somewhat challenging, even scary. And this is true in our zazen, and it's also true in ordinary life. I know what that's about. I know that person. I know that situation. I understand. Or somebody somewhere must know. But this is asking us to do something else, to give some space to the thinking mind and rest in something that's much more profoundly open and curious about any given situation. And that requires courage. So we have to think about, in our own lives, what is it that allows us to rest in non-thinking, in our zazen and in our daily lives. Because I think that's the key to the effort that's required in non-thinking, is allowing, not forcing. And there's one more point that Zen Master Keizan makes that should infuse our effort. He says, always abide in great compassion and dedicate the boundless power of sitting meditation to all living beings. This abiding in great compassion kind of is the tone. It sets the tone for our efforts in thinking and not thinking and non-thinking. It allows us that attitude, that cultivating that spirit. Not wimpy compassion, great compassion, okay? Allows us to have a spirit with which we can come to rest in non-thinking. So I'd like to stop with that